From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Dave DeForest reporting at least 32 civilians have been killed in the past 24 hours as Syrian government warplanes and artillery hit rebel-held districts of the city of Aleppo for a second day. The bombardment has damaged two hospitals, a blood bank, and a residential building in the city's eastern neighborhoods. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad says government troops are fighting to free civilians from what he called terrorists. Meanwhile, Russia said Tuesday it had launched air attacks targeting extremists in Idlib and Homs provinces. In what is likely to be his last overseas foreign policy speech, U.S. President Barack Obama told an audience in Greece Wednesday that American democracy is imperfect, but in his words, better than the alternatives. Reflecting on his time as president, the U.S. leader said his travels show him that people everywhere in the world desire dignity and self-determination. He addressed the stresses caused by globalization.
I firmly believe that the best hope for human progress remains open markets combined with democracy and human rights. But I have argued that the current path of globalization demands a course correction. In the years and decades ahead, our countries have to make sure that the benefits of an integrated global economy are more broadly shared by more people.
In his overseas trip, Mr. Obama's next stop, Germany. Pakistan's military has conducted a major exercise near the border with India. The drills are intended to showcase the combat readiness of the armed forces. They come at a time of heightened tension between Pakistan and India. Thunder lightning involved combat aircraft, tanks, artillery, and mobile missile launchers. This is VOA News. Russia announced Wednesday that it is withdrawing from the International Criminal Court. Margaret Bashir reports.
In withdrawing their signature, Moscow's foreign ministry accused the Hague-based court of not being truly independent and dismissed its work as one-sided and inefficient. The move comes a day after the court's chief prosecutor issued a report stating that the situation in Crimea and the city of Sevastopol factually amounts to an ongoing state of occupation by Russia over Ukraine. Moscow annexed the Ukrainian territory in March 2014 after a widely criticized referendum. Margaret Bashir, the United Nations.
Secretary of State John Kerry is trying to ease the minds of those worried that the next U.S. president will destroy the global agreement to mitigate climate change. Kerry spoke in Morocco at the UN climate conference.
While I can't stand here and speculate about what policies our president-elect will pursue, I will tell you this, in the time that I have spent in public life, one of the things I have learned is that some issues look a little bit different when you're actually in office compared to when you're on the campaign trail.
President-elect Donald Trump on the campaign trail as the Republican nominee spoke of ripping up the Paris Agreement on reducing greenhouse gases. Meanwhile, Trump says his transition to the presidency is going smoothly. He rebuffed reports of infighting among his key advisors. U.S. news media are reporting that Trump's transition team is in turmoil after his aides ousted two national security advisors. The president-elect dismissed accounts that he was trying to get top-level security clearance for three of his adult children, all of whom are advising him on key appointments. Trump called the reports a typically false news story. The U.S. and South Korea are continuing efforts to prosecute North Korea for alleged human rights violations. On Wednesday, the United Nations official in charge of North Korean human rights met with South Korea's foreign minister in Seoul. They plan to bring a North Korean human rights resolution before the United Nations Security Council next month. That resolution would refer the North to the International Criminal Court. A special envoy from the U.S. was also in Seoul. He talked about the importance of continuing to pressure the North to institute basic liberties. A Somali-American man has been sentenced to 30 years in prison for conspiring to provide material support to the Islamic State group. 22-year-old Mohamed Farah is one of nine men from Minnesota's large Somali community who are being sentenced this week for plotting to join the militant group. Farah was one of three defendants who refused to plead guilty. He was found guilty in May of conspiring to join IS and commit murder abroad. In Washington, I'm Dave DeForest.
That's the latest world news from VOA.